So in verse 24, going on here, it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith is come, there is no longer under a schoolmaster. Uh-oh, there it is. There it is. Let's throw away the law now. You know, we have Christ. We don't need this schoolmaster. Well, you know, that may be true, because of course God said it. But he didn't say anything about the school, did he? What happens when you go to school? You go to school all those years, which you know, if you don't know it, the educational system in the United States and anywhere in the world is 100% satanic. There isn't any one good thing in there. And if you think your school is so nice, you know, you're just deceived. You really are. You know, let's face facts again. Don't delude yourself. It's not going to be the system that God has in the kingdom of God. So if he's not going to have it there, because he says his priests are going to teach the people, and they're going to be of God. They're going to have the Spirit of God. There's more damage done to all of us in the school system, and we will take a lifetime trying to root out the evil that that school system has put in. Now, it happens to be there, and it happens to be law, and yes, you have to send your kids. If you can send them to a private school or do a home school, that's great. But it doesn't work. It's not convenient for everyone to do. If you're teaching your children at home the law of God, it's going to help them greatly overcome what they're going to learn in that lousy school system. But if you're not teaching the laws of God at home, if you're not discussing it at home, you might as well write the kids off, because they're going to go the way they were taught. Okay, we don't need that schoolmaster. What happens? You go into school and you have to sit there and you're taught and you're taught and you're taught and you're taught. And if you get out of line, the guy comes over and whacks you with a ruler. Well, not nowadays. The guy would sue you, but that's what used to happen. But you still get into trouble. And if you get out of their laws and their regulations and their rules that they have in that school, whoop, right down to the principal's office, don't you? Well, this is trying to show about God's law. Now, when this was set up for human beings under Satan's rule, when you broke one of the laws, you didn't go to the principal's office. You're going to have to die. Well, the stakes are a little higher with that. But when Christ came and showed us by and through and gave us the Holy Spirit, we were able to start to really appreciate the Ten Commandments. What was the first thing you wanted to do? Keep the Sabbath. Keep God's holy days. Don't eat pork. And not have any other gods before you. That's what you wanted to do immediately. You see, just because the schoolmaster, that threat of death, wasn't there anymore, it doesn't mean that the school was gone. It doesn't mean that when you finally graduated from high school or college or wherever, when you were on your own, it doesn't mean that you threw away everything you learned. If you were in the United States, you learned the law of the United States in school. You learned the Constitution. The United States citizen must abide by the Constitution of the United States. Those are all laws. You're under that law. And if you step out from under that law, you're going to have a penalty, aren't you? If you go and kill somebody or rob a bank or give a hard time to your neighbor, you're going to go to jail. There's laws in this country. And there's all those laws that we learned in school. All the laws of arithmetic. suddenly you don't go out now that you're on your own and say, well, 2 and 2 isn't 4. Well, I think it should be 7. And then you start living your life that way. Again, that would be kind of stupid, wouldn't it? If God puts His way of life down and He frees you from that death through the Holy Spirit, did the law go away? The law was there for your benefit, for your help, for your life. Just like the founding fathers tried to have a constitution and laws and amendments and all of that to help you, to keep you free in this country. I don't know how free we really are under all the laws, and especially the IRS, but that's another subject. We are more than happy to pay the IRS and to abide by these laws to have the little freedom that we really do have compared to all the other nations of the world. And we're thankful that we are here. But we're also very thankful, anyone with God's Spirit, any first fruit, unless you're late as seen and blinded, then you're not thinking on, you know, by God's way. But any first fruit in Philadelphia loves that law and appreciates that law, and it's a very standard to our life. So going on here in verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This promise comes right through to Christ. This is what this new covenant is. And we, the first fruits, are understanding it now. We'll get into this a little bit later, probably next sermon when we wrap this all up. But we have it now, and we are heirs, and we are heirs according to that promise. And if we be in Christ, and Christ be in us, and He is that seed of Abraham, which was the real promise, not just a physical promise for lands, but a promise for eternal life, then we are Abraham's seed. And didn't Abraham keep all, remember we read that scripture, he kept all of the law, all of the statutes, all of everything that God did. And he kept them. And we see that Christ kept them all as well. And if he set the example. And we see that all these apostles, this is like, you know, 15, 20, 25, 30 years later, after Christ came up from the dead. Here, I'm going to use this word again. Do you think Jesus Christ was so stupid not to tell the apostles that they didn't have to keep the holy days and didn't have to keep the law and didn't have to love the Ten Commandments? Do you think that maybe just like slipped his mind? Well, if you want to live in a satanic dream world, go ahead. I guess we can't help you. But if you have God's Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. So we are heirs. And we are this promise. Let's continue in Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But when he's young, he's that heir. But he's really not quite in charge quite yet. It says, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. So he's being taught, isn't he? If you're an heir, you're being taught. This is that schoolmaster. You have to learn it. How can you rule others? How can you help others? How can you guide anyone into this plan of salvation? unless you were first taught. But then when you were taught, did you throw it all away and then make up your own stuff? Of course not. This young lad wouldn't have lasted too long in the father's family if he was to come and start saying all kinds of new things and different things. That's why the father put him through the tutors and the governors until they appointed time. Then he was taught. You learn and you know how to keep God's law so that you can help and teach others and that you can serve and have be honor to the Father. It says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements or rudiments of this world. And that's under Satan and under that death penalty without Christ. But when the fullness of the time was come, see, for them and for all of us, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. This was not under the Jews' law and the Pharisees. This was under the Father's law. And that the parents did keep the law of God. Verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, because they were all going to die for eternity otherwise, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, means Daddy. We want to be like you. Everything you are, everything you stand for, everything in your mind, we want to be one with you, Dad. We want to please you and your household, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We know that we are joint heirs with everything that the Father has. Everything that He gave Jesus Christ, which was everything. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did serve unto them which by nature are not gods. Those are all the idols and the stones and everything else. Especially talking to the Gentiles. They had all kinds of these pagan, foul, wretched types of things. Satan had really done a job on the rest of the world. But now, after that you have known God, and he corrects himself, or rather are known of God, he wants to make this straight. Because if you really knew him, you wouldn't be doing this stupid stuff anyway. God still knows you, and he still loves you, and he's going to bring you back on track. How many times with Mr. Armstrong did that happen? That he had to come back from many travels and get the church back on track again. See, his servant wasn't there. And so we started moving closer and closer to sin. Servant came back, boom, right back on track. And the church was at peace again. I'll tell you, those early 80s were a very peaceful time. When Mr. Armstrong got this church back on track and through that spirit, it was just peaceful. It was peaceful at church. These hirelings out in the area didn't dare do anything wrong then. They were under the gun, and everything got very peaceful. God's Spirit was there. It says, so you are known of God. He says, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements and rudiments whereunto you desired again to be in bondage? Why are you getting upset about this circumcision thing? You know, you are the circumcised of God through that Spirit. He says, you observe the days and the months and the times and the years. You know, this, if they did this, they gained salvation. And they already had it. They had it. Paul taught it properly. He says, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I spent all this time with you and you didn't learn anything. You went backwards. And he goes through here a little bit. Just talking to them. He says, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know, you can do anything you want there. I'm still staying in the faith. I'm going to continue to preach it. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at first, and my temptation was in my flesh. You despise not, nor rejected, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. In other words, speaking his words, and you are from God. Where is then the blessing, the blessedness you spoke of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. And so the infirmity was somewhere around his eyes. There was even some things I read that he was beaten and pounded on so much that one of his eyes was actually hanging down, running right out of the socket, and just hanging down on his face. And he makes different mentions about his appearance and stuff in other places. So who knows, but it wasn't because of the physical things that were going on. The people accepted because of the truth of God. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously afflict you, affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. They want you to be circumcised, and push you out of this. But you're already in it. Don't let them do this. But it is of good to be zealous, affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am just present with you. You know, be zealous when I'm not there. Keep this thing up. Don't let people come in. It says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Do I have to do this again? I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. I've heard a lot of things coming here. Where do you people stand now? Are you really sincere? Tell me, that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? You know, do you not hear the law? Now remember this verse. Because when we go through Acts 15, we're going to be bringing that verse up. He says, you do hear the law, don't you? You hear what's right. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondsmaid and the others by a free woman. Of course, which was Sarah, Isaac. But he who was of the bondswoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. This is a promise that God made, that Isaac was going to come along, and that's the reason and the only reason he was born. And it was by promise, which we've gone over, had a lot more implications further on down the line. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, or two testaments. Right there. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. And that seed, Ishmael. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai of Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. The ruling world there was Jerusalem. And they really were in bondage to Jerusalem. And they were the ruling people here. And the other ones were trying to get back and get in power. He says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So you're going to the spiritual. It says, for it is written, rejoice, you barren that beareth not. Break forth and cry, thou that travaileth not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which has a husband. I think this is referring to that great harvest. There's an awful lot of those children. The only one that has a husband is the church. The first fruits. There's not many of those. Showing an order again. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecutes him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Yeah, the harvest right now continues to persecute the first fruits. It's basically what it's saying. The one after the flesh, the one under that law that if they don't keep everything are going to die. And those of us who keep the law with the Spirit of God don't have that death because we don't even keep it perfectly. We still sin, but we're covered. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondswoman and her son, for the son of the bondswoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Isn't that true? The great harvest? They don't have the same places as we do as first fruits. We are of the free woman. We are of that Jerusalem up above. And we will be spirit beings forever with the Father and heirs to all of that. Where everyone else, the great harvest will come up. They will live forever, but they will be human beings. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondswoman, but we are free. He's trying to get it through these Galatians. Don't let these pharisaical Jews come up here, even in the church, and tell you these things. We're saved by Christ. That's what all of it's all about anyway, isn't it? So let's go through chapter 5 as quickly as we can here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, this freedom, because you're not going to die. And the freedom to truly keep the law through the Spirit and be happy in doing it. Anyone who thinks that the law of God, you know, you have to be a slave to it or it's a burden upon you, they're not getting it, are they? The Spirit's not working with them, is it? I've been in this 42 years. It's been a joy. And every time He reveals more about Himself and His law and His way. It's better. I have a better feeling toward the law. I have a better feeling. I'm understanding it more and more. It's a joy to keep the Sabbath. More than it was 20 years ago. It keeps improving. I love it. Still sin. But thank God we're covered. Okay, so stand in this liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage, this thing of death. You're not circumcised, you're not going to be saved. It's a lie. It's bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. It's not concerning Him at all. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If you believe you have to be circumcised under that law to gain salvation, then you're a debtor to the whole law. You better do it all or you will not be saved. That's what he's saying. Christ is become of none effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. I, you know, I don't have to keep saying it. I think it's very clear here. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of the righteousness by that faith and that Spirit. That's what we're under. Don't let people talk you out of this. Verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. What is love? Keeping the commandments. What is the faith? By the Spirit. Well, Mr. Armstrong always said, the way you teach is by repetition, repetition, repetition. That's why we're making all of these in tapes, and all you in the congregation here have to go through this. It's all good for all of us. But once it's on tape, I don't have to keep doing it over and over. We can just send out the tapes. It said in verse 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you? You're going along fine in the church. Who came and hindered you? Who made you stumble? That you should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that called you. It didn't come from God. It certainly didn't come from Paul who was teaching. Here's this example again. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You start this garbage going on in the church, and people start talking about it, pretty soon it spreads around, it gets everyone confused. Well, thank God for His Spirit. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? If he's going along with the trend, why do they keep throwing stones at him? He's not. Then is the offense of the cross ceased. It's true. Would that sacrifice, what did it all have to do? I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love, by that Spirit, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. You see, you can't just take this and isolate and say, see, you don't need anything. We've read too much. How can you possibly have love? By that great commandment, keeping his commandments. If you're not keeping his commandments, and that Spirit and that love is not to God, it is impossible to love your neighbor or yourself. You can't do it. Can't have one without the other. Read all the scriptures. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Don't try to destroy yourself here. Let's get back on track. It's like Mr. Armstrong saying, coming back to the church, let's get back on track. Get your eyes to God and what He did. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. That satanic computer chip in us. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. All right, there's going to be sin, and he explains that. And back, read Romans 8, the whole chapter. Talks about things he wanted to do, he couldn't do. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. under that death, under that penalty, try to do it the best you can with God's Spirit and enjoy and love that law. It says, now the works of the flesh, the works of Satan, are manifested in these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, license to sin, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, all of these things, wrath and strife, heresies, envying, murders, drunken, all the such the like, he says. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We've gone through that. Get that series on Satan's life and death. We go through all of this. We reveal Satan for who he is and what he is and his character and everything about him. And we see that coming in men because Satan's spirit is driving that. So he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, here's the fruit of the Spirit. And it has all of these things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. We've defined love. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. There's that word faith. Can't have faith without the Spirit. It's part of the fruits of the Spirit. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. He just said whose spirit that comes from. Going right into Galatians 6. We'll finish this up. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself less, considering yourself lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove of his own work by that Spirit working within you in the way that you are going. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Be happy that Christ is working within you. Don't judge somebody else. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches him, or teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whosoever, or whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, with that satanic spirit, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, and we won't with God's Holy Spirit. God doesn't fail, and no one plucks you out of his hand. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Do it with the church. Help the people in the church. And if there's still time, fine, do it outside. And he says, you see what a large letter I wrote to you. As many as desired to make a fair going on about the circumcision again. He says, don't let them take you back into that. Verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of which Jesus Christ, and see, it's that death, that cross or that death that Christ did, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And he goes on in verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. He's talking about the first fruits, because we are that spiritual Israel. So he goes through and says that grace be unto all of the brethren. So we've gone through Galatians, and all the way through it, he is consistent. He continually goes through and says that if anyone asks about that law, that maybe it shouldn't be kept. He says, oh, God forbid. Of course it has to be kept. That's what our life is. That's what all of this is all about. So that really is talking about the new covenant. And we're going to get into next week. We're going to go through very quickly Acts 15, where everyone believes, at least in worldwide, that you can do away with God's law. And it doesn't say that at all in there. We're going to go through that very quickly. And then we're going to go through who does it apply to today. Where does this covenant, you know, who does it apply to? And also we're going to show what will happen to the covenants in the kingdom of God. Are they kept? Are they kept there or not? Is the law of God kept in the great last day? And we'll go through some scriptures on that, and that'll end this series. So we'll wrap it up here, and then until next Sabbath, you have a good week, and we'll see you next Sabbath.